This is PhotoBizX, episode number 563, and today we are talking retouching and how you can find the best photographic retoucher to hire for your business, who to outsource to, who not to outsource to, when is the right time to start outsourcing, should you utilize AI before you hire a retoucher, or can you skip the whole AI thing right from the start? I know there are going to be a ton of aha moments in this one, whether or not you are outsourcing, are thinking about outsourcing, or just want to get better at photographic editing. Our special guest is Julia Simak, and she is an extraordinary retoucher who shares an absolute ton in this interview. It's coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here, host of the PhotoBizX podcast, where I interview guests from around the world to help you build a better photography business even faster than going it alone. And like I said in that intro, I know you're going to love what Julia has to share in this episode today. Interestingly, she does not have a website, but what I did do is ask some PhotoBizX members to allow Julia to edit some of their raw files as examples, and I've included those in the show notes for today's episode, and they are at photobizx.com/563. You can see the before and after images there in the show notes to get an idea of the kind of work that Julia does. And I do want to say a big thanks to Birgit Zimmerman, Ina Jalil, Laurie Brown, Melissa Aligich, Veronica Segredo, and Victoria Burkesell for all supplying the photos for the show notes for this episode of the podcast. Now, I will give you a heads up. Julia had never worked with any of these photographers in the past, these PhotoBizX Premium members. All she did was ask for their Instagram handle or their website URL so she could get a bit of an idea of the kind of style they like to edit in. I sent Julia the raw files and then away she went. So go and check out those examples so you do have a good idea exactly what we're talking about in this episode today. Again, they're at photobizx.com/563.
And now, a macro look at the last episode.
Just before we do get into the meat of today's episode and the interview with Julia, if you didn't catch last week's episode with Jessica McGovern, make sure you get back and have a listen to that one. She has a lot of fans. I can tell you the feedback or the comments inside the show notes were all very supportive. Everyone couldn't wait to hear what Jessica had to say, what she had to share, and they were full of praise of just how good she is. So get back and have a listen to that one, particularly if you are working or servicing a lower socioeconomic area, but you're looking to target the higher end clients in your area or in the surrounding areas, because that's exactly what Jessica shared in last week's episode. She was living in a more affordable part of town, but she wanted to be attracting clients from the higher end of town, the ones that are more wealthy and had more money to spend on the photography that she was offering. She had some really cool and interesting ways on how you can get in front of those specific clients, because obviously they are not going to be on social media, that you won't find them on Facebook or with your Facebook ads or on Instagram or TikTok. You need to get out there and find these people in the community and connect with them that way. And that's exactly what Jessica shared in last week's episode.
You're listening to PhotoBiz Exposed with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Oh, and just quickly, if you are hearing this announcement, it does mean you are listening to the free version of the podcast. Now, what that means is you will not hear the full interview today with Julia. I am saving a large portion of the second half for premium members only. The good news, you can access the full interview for as little as $1 if you head over to photobizx.com/try. And I can assure you, if you are doing any of your own editing, you do not want to miss the second half of today's episode with Julia, because she shares a ton that will be super helpful and will move the needle in your editing process and potentially your business and your profits. So photobizx.com/try to access the full interview with a 30-day trial membership. You can hear the full interview today with Julia, get access to the full back catalogue, get an invite to the members' Facebook group, and see exactly what you're missing out on every single week.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
If one thing is true about running a successful photography business and growing it effectively, it's that at some point you will need to outsource to grow. And one of the first and simplest tasks to hand off is post-production or editing. And that's where today's guest comes in. She is a photo retoucher and she works with studio owners looking to let go of their editing to free up more time. Now, I thought it'd be great to get a better perspective from a retoucher's side to learn what you can do to make the transition to outsourcing seamless and less stressful. And while chatting with today's guest, she told me there are things you can do to find the right retoucher for you, how to change your process to increase efficiency by 30% in one day, and how to make working with a retoucher so much easier. We'll get into all that and so much more with expert editor Julia Simak, who I am rapt to say is with us now. Julia, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Andrew. Hi, everybody. So thank you for having me today.
It's my pleasure. So for the listener, they don't know you as well as I just got to know you before we started recording. Tell us where you're from and where you're based now and what you do.
Okay. Originally, I'm Ukrainian. I was raised and born in the north of Ukraine and recently relocated to Texas because of the health situation we all know in Ukraine. And I'm a retoucher now, and I am surprised to say that to you all that you know I'm a photographer retoucher because my first career and my first knowledge was computer programmer. I can code and do all this computer stuff and IT and computer networks. And when I got my first son, he was born, of course, as any parent, I fall in love with my baby and I took each moment of his life, took photos. And of course, I was on the photos as well and I hate each one of them. While I love how I look in a mirror, I hate each my photo. And it was a huge problem for me that I was trying to solve, first of all, for myself. And in time, I had a great opportunity in life, very ordinary opportunity, when my husband said, you can do whatever you want, just don't work. And of course, I started to solve my problems. I want to have beautiful photos of myself with my kids, with my family. And I learned all about photography, all the equipment, lights, composition, everything. And I still hated each my photo and all that. And then I have found that it is exist post-production, that what you got on a camera is not actually the final picture that we can see on all these journals, on advertising with all the celebrities. And I was, wow, the Photoshop exists. It's cool software. And I started to learn Photoshop and then Lightroom, all the tools, how to make it contracts, how to clean the skin. It took me 2 years of just learning. And you know what? I still hate all my photos. With all that I can do with them. And then I fall deeper in learning what is picture, what people can see the picture, and why do I love the reflection of myself in mirror, my face. It's not something that I hate in many females thinking, oh, I hate my nose. No, I love what I see in a mirror, but I hate all the photos. And so I studied deeply inside why it is. How do we see ourselves in a mirror? And how do we see picture? And how we see our family, the people who we love in pictures, and what the difference. And I fall down to the deep research, to the scientific research about what it is picture, how we see, what we see first, why we do recognize something, and why we miss some information on a picture. And I will say something to you that you knew, but you never known it before. I will tell you right now. When you look on a picture, you just see the picture. But when you look on a real human, you not only see the picture, you smell person, you hear person, you feel the warmth from this person. And if you feel the smell of your mother, you feel it. But when you see the picture, you don't feel the smell, but your brain, because you see the picture, your brain starting remember and recall all the memories, like, hey, this is the smell, or the smell in the kitchen that promptly will say, hey, my mother is doing something that I love. And all these like small and brain things that is happening in our head, how we recognize picture, how we recognize people in the real world and in the picture, all these make effect how we see the picture.
But how do you get that across then with, you know, editing or retouching?
Yes, and all this knowledge bring me to understanding it deeply, how to tell story. You probably heard it a lot, like tell a story through the picture. And one day I took part in a competition. It was made by Freedom House, and they made a call, free call for every photographer, tell a story about the political situation in your country in one picture. And I did it. I told a story, a long story in just one picture about the political situation in Ukraine in that time. And I was in a top of choice in Freedom House. And it was a big exhibition in Washington Gallery. And my picture took a part of this exhibition. And after this, I realized that I was not alone, that many photographers, many people have the same problem as I did, hating my own photos. And while knowing everything about the photography, the light, the gear, Photoshop, all the tools that you can use in Photoshop, all that is great and it is needed. But there is another big knowledge and experience that could allow you really understand how to make your pictures look beautiful, how to catch eye on your picture. And at this moment, I decided, well, I can help other photographers and do the best and show them, first of all, that their photography is great. You just must crop it properly so it catches the eye, and apply all the other tools from Photoshop and Lightroom to make them beautiful. And it was the first feedback that I heard from photographers when they just jumped into the freelance website and started to look for who needs this kind of post-production service. Photographers started to tell me that, wow, I didn't know that my photos look so great. Like, they took them, but they can't even see deeply what they took, with not applying all this knowledge of how people see pictures.
So when you see one of your photos now out of your camera, or you see another photographer's photo, and it's, I mean, if I take a photo, I'm a professional photographer. I feel like I've cropped correctly. I feel like I've lit my subject well. I feel like I'm catching the emotion. You know, I feel like I'm doing all the right things for the family that I photographed to connect with that photo. What are you doing differently to that photo than I would do to make it even more appealing to the family?
Great question. Thank you. I will show you the different side, like how could you do it a little. You will do all the same. Like, your photography is already beautiful. It's just a little bit of polishing it so the family see exactly what you try to capturing on this picture. As a human being, as a newborn, when we just started to see our world and we started to recognize all the objects in the real world as a newborn, the first thing that a baby can see and recognize is eyes. The eyes of own mother is the first object that a newborn can recognize. And our brain because it's the deepest knowledge in our brain, the object of the eye. Like, you know it the longest in your life. Your brain knows this object is the longest. It is the strongest object. And it's important that the eye, like when you look on a picture, the first second, even less than a second, you will recognize eyes. You will recognize eye. The other thing about the human brain, we have two eyes. And you probably noticed that if you close one eye, you will see one part of world around you, and some angel and another part. But because we have two eyes, all these two circles are laid down one on another. And there are the part that we see with both eyes at the same time. So some part of we see only with one eye, but there is two, like when they circle, there is part that we can see with both eyes. So we can recognize them faster. You probably heard about golden ratio or one-third ratio. And these lines of one-third ratio is exactly where our sight has the strongest. We recognize objects in the strongest way, like fastest, exactly in this area of the picture because of our sight, our brain. The other thing, again, about all the scientific and research thing, is that when we see something first, like we have multiple stages of how we recognize objects on a picture. Like we have 2 seconds. Okay, in 2 seconds, I see the first, like what our brain could catch just in 2 seconds. Then another 2 seconds, like we have 4 seconds. And then another 3 seconds. So in like 7 seconds, you probably heard about like first impression, you have only 4 seconds to catch eye. So it's all about the speed of how we recognize fast picture with our eyes and how processing our brain. And also at this period, we promptly recognize as a human being, is it a good thing that we can see or bad thing? Like the promptly reaction, if you will see something that will make you scare, you will promptly feel some scare, you will start to shake, like this prompt reaction that you even can't control. And here is a big secret I will tell you right now, so you can see the same way as the family. Look, if you put an eye in a cross of one third or in a cross of golden ratio lines, you will put an eye that I love, the eye of my mother, the eye of my son, my brain will promptly recognize, before I see the whole picture, the eye, and the whole body in my brain will say, hey, it's something that you love. Before you see everything else, just this first reaction that you, and everything in your body will be prepared already that it's something lovely, it's something that I want to see every day. And the whole mode in my body will say, oh, it's something great. So my first reaction will be, oh, it's something good, just because I can recognize the eye that I love, the shape of this eye exactly. And then another second, I can see the whole picture, like not only points of hot points, and I promptly feel the love to this picture.
Right. Okay, let me just push you a little bit further here for a second. So let's say I'm photographing you and your son, and you've hired me to take your photos, and you've told me about the rule of thirds, and you said, what was the other one you talked about? The golden...
golden ratio. It's almost exactly the same as the rule of thirds. It's just a little bit different of the ratio, not exactly one-third, one-third. I believe it's happening because each human has a different distance between eyes. and a different angel. So in one research, we jump in one third. In other research, it's a little bit wider.
So that's the golden ratio.
Yes, but it's not a one pixel, you know. So it's some area.
Sure, sure, sure. Okay, so let's say that I'm photographing you and your son and you hired me to take these photos and I want to sell these photos to you. Do I focus on putting your son's eyes on, you know, utilizing the rule of thirds or your eyes? Like, am I trying to get you to fall in love and recognize your son's eyes first or you fall in love with your photo first?
Great question. So great question. Thank you so much for asking me. I will tell you just a little bit story. When I learned about photography, so I still try to put all the lights correctly and try to understand what is happening. I started to offer this as a service for my friends and family. Like, hey, guys, I need to practice. I need to understand how it works. Let me take pictures of your family. And one day I took photography of two different families. They were friends. They were both young families with young kids. And so they invited me to come to their home and do photos of each of these families. And one family, wife and husband, they kisses all the time in front of the camera. They hugs each other. They jump. They do a lot of jokes. And another family, they was like more cold. And wife all the time say like, put the hand here, pull the hand there. Don't hold me like this. Blah, 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 blah. And then I made all these portraits of them and showed to them. And that time, it was like a trend in retouching that men hates to be retouched and men shouldn't be retouched at all. Like, you must retouch female on a portrait, but never touch a man. It was like, no. And it is something that I did. I retouch women a lot and didn't touch any man. And then I presented portraits to these families. And the family that was so in love of each other, they hug and kiss it. The wife said to me that, you know, you retouch too much my husband. But I didn't touch him at all. But she saw the pictures even more beautiful than what she saw, like she saw her husband in life. And the family that was in love, when I showed the pictures to them, she said that I must retouch her husband more because he looks better in life than what he was on the pictures. But the wife who doesn't love on her husband a lot, she said that I retouched him too much, but I didn't touch anything on him.
Right. So why is that? Why do you think that is?
Because when we love something, our human brain is creating like a fade in our eyes. And I don't see all the skin problems on my son because I love him. But I see a lot of skin problems on a girl of neighbors because I don't like her. So as a advice to the photographer, and I believe that each photographer knows people and analyze promptly all the relationships and what they feel, like they can read people faster and clearly than other people who is not photographers. I would say give yourself a second to look on a family and make a decision. The person who will pay the bill, whom love the most, himself, kids, or spouse, and put the eye of this person in a portrait.
Okay, so if I'm photographing you and all you've done is talk about your son the whole time and I can see the way you spoil him and you know everything is about him, then I would make him the focus of the photo more than anything. But if I see you
yes.
in the mirror doing up your lipstick and fixing your eyes and not worried about the kids, then I make you the focus of the photos.
Exactly.
I love it. I love it. Okay. Let me take you to the actual photo retouching. So fast forward to this part of your life now. You're working for one or two or more other photographers doing their retouching for them, using your skills to help them, I guess, free up their time so they can sell the photos that you're retouching. I'm guessing you've gotten a lot quicker, a lot faster, a lot better at what you're doing, and that's why you're able to sell your services as a retoucher. And that's all you're doing now? You're not photographing, is that right?
Yes, exactly. I still like do advice and help. When studio hires new photographers because of growing and more people is needed in studio, not just one photographer, but more, then I help to train these photographers about positioning, some details like what they must watch in a camera and do the whole retouching, but I don't do photography itself.
Okay, so hang on. So if I hire you as my retoucher and you see my photos that you're retouching, you'll give me advice to make my photos better as well?
If you will ask, because I know that photographers are so in love of their photography that if I will start to tell you before you ask, you will hate me.
Right, yes. Okay,
but if you ask, I will tell you.
Okay, so that would be included in what you do. You would happily do that because it makes your life easier.
Yes, of course. And I believe in a mutual benefits. The best photography, the result will be then the best I can put, like make it even better. So the client will be happier. And so the studio will get more clients. So I believe in this mutual benefits when we all do our best.
All right, great. I love it. I love it. All right, I want to ask you questions about actual retouching in just a minute. But in the intro, I said you're going to help the listener choose the right retoucher for them. So, I mean, the conversation that we've already had, I mean, you've sold me. I want to hire you. Oh, you sound amazing, but we all can't have you. So how do we work out who a good retoucher is or who isn't a good retoucher?
I don't believe that exists good or bad retoucher in general. I believe that the problem could fall down in a misunderstanding. So the first thing is, because I spoke a lot with photographers, I know that each of them has some secrets or some technical that they don't want to hurry or don't want to say in loud that, oh, I actually use AI, but I don't want people to, or something like that. Like, you should have a trust relationship with the retoucher and be very, very open to what you actually want to be done. And if you have already in place some process, you have some preset, you have some key moments that is important for you, be open and show them open. If you have actions, preset that you already use, it doesn't mean that the retoucher will use it later. But at the beginning, with the first step is learning the need, what you're looking for is be very open and show and tell every detail that you use and you want to be replicated by another person.
Okay, so just let me hold you there, Julia. Let's say in my studio, we use what we call a process action. So all my files, once they've done it, we've been through the culling process, we put our images through a process action. And that helps fix, you know, saturation, contrast, exposure. It does it all automatically. And that's an action that I've developed over a long time. Mm-hmm. So if I hire you, will you use that action, are you saying, or if I want you to use it, or will you just say, look, just show me what you're trying to get to and I'll do it my way?
First, I will use it. Like, I want to see the whole your process as you see it right now, like I'm doing right now. But because I'm the programmer, my first career was computer programmer, and I know a lot about it. And also, I did a lot of actions myself, but I don't use action. I have custom software that was built specially for me, and this custom software used some actions in Photoshop. So because of the big volume and big automation that I'm processing, I have a lot of custom software when I just click a button and it does not only what you can see in Photoshop and Actions, but even more with it. And my son is joking at me all the time because when I do work, I'm literally working on three different computers at the same time.
But all running these different actions.
Yes, because like you can't run two Photoshop at the same time on one computer. And you can't run two Lightroom at the same time on one computer. So I have one computer that do all the Photoshop automated things. And while it is doing Photoshop automating things, another computer is doing Lightroom automating things. And when they finish, they send, get a special file for me that I'm just open and do what must be done manually to finish the job. And then again, I just click the button, just one button, and the whole the magic go to the custom programming solution and software, took the files, convert them in JPEG, make more actions in Lightroom, again, convert it to the JPEG, and upload directly to the studio. And report them, like, oh, the whole automation thing.
Got it. Okay, wow. Amazing. Okay, so I'm guessing, like, for the listener, you know, if they're not hiring you, not every retoucher is going to be doing what you're doing. So you're saying show that retoucher exactly your process now and then have them either use your way or come up with their own way to get to the same end product.
Yes. If you're looking for, so first be open. Show what you do, how you do, like telling the key moments that you are using or is critical for you, and then just see the result.
Got it. Okay. Should we be paying the retoucher by the hour or by the image?
It could be a very personal question for some retouchers. But now, because like at the beginning, when I just started to do it for other photographers as a service, I was able to do maybe 10 photos per day.
10 clients or 10 photos?
No, just 10 photos. Like many, many, many years ago when just started, like I could maybe 10, and 10 was already, oh, I did like 1 hour per photo. Today I can processing, oh, let me calculate a little bit. About 1,000 photos per day.
Okay. So you could be doing, you know, 10 or 20 photography sessions in one day.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Because of the whole optimization in Photoshop.
Right. So for your business today, it wouldn't make sense to charge by the hour. You charge by the photo, I imagine.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. So it depends on the business model.
Yes. Because my business model, because I'm a programmer, because I believe, you know, the good programmer is lazy programmer. If you're not lazy, you could not be a good programmer.
Because you want to automate everything.
Yes. Okay. What is possible to automate? What is possible to be made just by computer with all the like settings and conditions? It must be done. It's just my believing by computer. But there is still a lot of manual work, manual touch. But it took me like two, three seconds per photo. But you will see full retouched portrait the same as a general retoucher will spend 1 hour or 2 hours. Like if you took me 15 years ago, I will spend on the same time of work. Well, I'm better now. But in general speaking.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yes, and what you promised at the beginning, of course, many retouchers has no programming experience and knowledge that I have, that I can do programming course, of course. It's a rare situation. But because of this point, like this mindset that exists in my head, I did myself the first research that I did, and I want to, this is the story, how you can make the process faster in one day, promptly. I did a lot of research on myself, how I do editing, why I do editing of this, how Photoshop processing files, and the result of this research, I can tell you. When you open a photo to retouch your portrait in Photoshop, you do some steps, like you run some actions, you do some background cleaning or hair cleaning, or like you have your own process. It doesn't matter what the process. Then you finish it, you save, and you open next button. Again, you run your actions and you repeat, but not. If you will open the whole session at once in Photoshop, let's say 30 images, and instead of working one photo at a time, you will first like look at your current process, what you are doing. For example, your first step, you have some actions that you run. Or in the first step, you are filling the gaps in background or cleaning the floor, like your first, whatever the first step. Just go through the each photo and finish just the first step. And then repeat for your second step and your third step. And you will notice that each of the step, when you do it, not a one picture at a time, but you do just one step in all 30 pictures at once, will increase your speed of working on this 30%.
Wow.
Unbelievable. This is like because of our brain, our memory, like how much we remember and what we concentrate.
Yeah, it makes sense that we're basically batch processing our own images rather than doing.
Yes, it's a better. It's like the same way, like if you imagine, like if you're a photographer, what you do first in studio, you set up light, you set up like some chair composition, and then you take a lot of photos. But imagine if you will need to put the light each time before each shot that you took.
Yeah.
How much time will it take?
Yeah, that's crazy for sure.
Yes. But some white people do it and so it's so long.
Absolutely. I love that tip. I love that. That's a great idea. Whether you're doing the processing yourself or you have a staff member doing it, then you would encourage them to do that. Unless you're outsourcing, then you would hope the outsourcing retoucher is doing that already.
Like, it's not your problem anymore. It's over your head.
Exactly. Let me just take you back to hiring a retoucher. Is there anything else that we should do? I mean, you said show them your action or show them your process from start to finish and see if they can get to the same process. I guess that's the first step, get to the same result.
Yes.
Is there anything else that we should do to make sure that a retoucher is a good retoucher for our studio?
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
Julia, this has been absolutely amazing. I've got two more questions to ask you, but like if someone listening and they think, oh my God, Julia, I want you in my studio. I want you in my life. How do we get in touch with you? How do we find you? What's the next step?
Hit me email. Andrew, please share my email address somewhere in the description. Just hit me email and I will be happy to speak with you and hear your problems and solve them as much as I can.
I love it. Okay, and just to finish off then, maybe two or three quick ones. How much does it cost to hire you?
Tell me what you have, what you need, and we will find the right price for both of us. Like, because my deep believing of mutual benefits, it all depends. Like, there is some average price, but it could not fit for your studio because you are a unique studio with your process, with your volume, with your price list, with your clients. As the same as don't look on a portfolio of retoucher. Don't ask the price before you see what the retoucher can do for you.
Okay. So if I hire you for my business, the idea is that when I get my photos back from you, they are ready to show my client and ready to print. I don't need to open them again in Photoshop, do I, or Lightroom?
No, no. If you get my work, they're ready to present to your clients and they're ready to send to the print shop.
Got it. Okay. Last question for you, Julia. You mentioned it very, very quickly earlier on, and I did want to ask you about it. AI, is it affecting your business now? Are you worried about it? Are you excited about it?
I will tell you a story. My recent studio that I recently took on board in my process, before me, they used AI because they have a volume, they try to automate and do it faster. After they finished the onboarding, I got a feedback from a studio that my service is better than what they had before. The quality of portraits is better and they're impressed of the result. Like their photographers started to do better portraits because of me, and I can deliver the work vice versa. So if you are just a beginner or you're just starting to get some little volume, you're happy with the result because not each photographer is happy with the result that AI could bring, or not all AI could solve all the problems that studio could have. But if you are happy with the result in your stage right now, it's okay. Just use what is good for you. But my current business on the level of volume, quality that I produce, AI doesn't hit me because we are way higher in quality, faster in processing. So it just, it's good for beginners.
That's a great answer. So let's say I'm a growing business and right now I'm using AI to, you know, get my images pretty close to where I want them. And I'm happy with them. And then I do some extra retouching. Now I'm going to hire you. I'm ready to go up to the next level. Do I still use the AI to get my images halfway there before I give them to you? Or I just give them straight to you?
Just straight to me in raw files. I even have a program that I can send and install in studio that will see it in your computer. It's a custom program. You can't find it anywhere on the internet. Sorry. It's special for me, for my clients. And what does it? It's a very small program, but it just does what it needs. You put the cards in the card reader, and it's all that you need to do. This program will take all the file to your computer because just the memory card is lower. So we first need this program will copy them on hard drive at your computer and then upload directly to me the raw files.
So you get the full raw file, not just the preview file?
No, of course, the raw files, full size raw files. Like you just, as a studio, you put the cards in a card reader and your job is finished with files. The rest is on me.
You know, the listener right now is thinking, oh my God, Andrew better share this email address because that sounds like a dream. So I will do that, I promise. Julia, it's been amazing to talk to you. Congratulations on what you built. I'll share some examples of your work in the show notes. You're incredible at what you do and I've had a ball talking to you. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for your great questions. And I will be happy to come back if you have more great questions. I'm happy to take your challenge and be right back here. Thank you.
Thanks, Julia. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Julia as much as I did. Julia, if you are listening, thank you so much again for coming on, for sharing everything you did. You are incredible. I love your talent, your passion, your skills. You really are amazing. And again, massive, massive thanks for being so pushy. I'm saying that in air quotes in setting up this interview today because, yeah, I wasn't sure if this would be a good fit for listeners, but after talking to you, I'm 100% sold. I'm so glad I had you on the show. So massive thanks. For you, the listener, I hope I am right in saying that. I hope you got a ton from what Julia had to share. There had to be so many aha and light bulb moments. And yeah, look, I'm looking forward to hearing your feedback on this one. Please go and check out the show notes so you can see those before and after photos that Julia produced for some of the PhotoBizX members. This week, the show notes are at photobizx.com/563. And like I said earlier in the show, Julia does not have a website, but you can easily reach out to her via email if you have any more questions for her. Plus, I'll be adding Julia into the members Facebook group. So if you are a premium member, you'll have easy access to Julia there. If you want to ask any additional questions, ask her to go deeper into something we covered, whatever it may be, you can hit her up there in the premium members Facebook group. I should add, which I didn't earlier in the show, when I was first talking to Julia via email and setting up this interview, she shared with me some work that she'd done for Jen Lindberg, or Jennifer Lindberg, who is based in the US. I interviewed Jen for episode 457 of the podcast, and her work is absolutely incredible. She, in fact, uses Julia as her photo editor, and Julia supplied a link to a Vimeo video where Jen did a reveal session for one of her clients. So I've linked to that in the show notes as well, because it's 100% worth checking out. And I've also linked to the interview with Jen as well. She has an incredible story. She went from deep financial trouble to an inspiring and very profitable photography business in the US. So I've linked to both of those in the show notes if you want to check either of those out.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
A couple of quick announcements before we close out this episode of the podcast. Last week, I had Joel and Jacinta delivering the masterclass on utilizing Joel's community fundraising photography marketing strategy. It was a huge success. Some of the feedback was, all the feedback was incredible, but I've got a few of the testimonials, I guess you'd call them, in the show notes for this episode and on the registration page for the course if you did miss it. Paige McLeod, who I've interviewed on the podcast before, she says, "I'm excited but super nervous about using this for newborns." Laurie Brown, who I've also featured on the podcast in the past, she says, "I'm excited to try this. I've done this sort of thing in the past, but I feel like there were some missing puzzle pieces that Joel and Jacinta have provided in this course," which is fantastic. And that's usually what happens in these masterclasses. All the little puzzle pieces fall into place, and the photographers that attend generally run away and have a successful campaign following what they learn. John Mills, he is a dog photographer in West Sussex in the UK. He says, "Great content as always. This could be my golden ticket to not relying purely on Facebook wanted ads." I love that. So I'm looking forward to hearing how John goes with this. There's also a lovely comment from Kadisha Sharma. She says, "This pushes me out of my comfort zone, but that's where the growth is, right? Let's do this." I love that. And then Portland senior photographer Amanda Shamer, she says, "It's like taking auction donations and putting them on steroids. I love the follow-up steps and how to get it going." That is awesome. And lastly, Kelowna wedding photographer Alex DeHiro. He says, "It was great to hear from Joel and Jacinta together at the same time. The training was excellent and so worth the cost. I've used a similar strategy in the past with variable success, and clearly I was missing some key elements. I'm so excited to start working on this." So yeah, feedback's been fantastic. If you did attend that masterclass, you now have access to the standalone course, which has the recording, all the downloads, everything you need to get going with this. So go and check that out. You should have received an email from me on how to access that course. Now, if you didn't make the course or you didn't sign up or register in time before the price doubled, I had about 3 or 4 emails from listeners and members that told me the price had already doubled when they went to sign in, and they thought they were registering before the actual date it was going up. So look, if that was you or you experienced that, please shoot me an email. I'll get you in at the special price. I can do that for you. Just please, again, send me a detailed email of what happened, and we'll get you in there and enrolled so you can get access to that course at that special price now that the price has doubled. And you can find me on email at andrew@photobizx.com. I've got a good news story to finish off this episode of the podcast. You may remember, if you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, I interviewed Michelle Tricker in episode 451 of the podcast, and she was photographing, I guess you'd call it a personal project, on the people of Imokalee in the USA. And the idea was to photograph this small farming community, or people from the small farming community, and bring awareness about this community to the wider public. And the idea was to get these photographs and get them into exhibitions, and also to have them on the side of moving billboards or semi-trailers, if you like. Anyway, I just had an update from Michelle via email, and I'm going to just summarize some of the things that she told me. She was awarded a $25,000 grant from the Florida Department of State Division of Arts and Culture, which is amazing. She also raised $10,000 on her own via a fiscal sponsorship through the ASMP Foundation. And then last year, she had the official launch of her murals, and she was able to cover 2 50-foot-long industrial buildings and 2 53-foot-long semi-trailer trucks with images that were 255 times larger than life. And these were these black and white photographic portraits. So just amazing. She was also interviewed on public radio, PBS produced a 10-minute documentary on the project. She's been shown, or her work's been shown, in one of the most prestigious museums in the area. And she says that she has accomplished her goal. People have taken notice and the project continues to grow. Lastly, she says, I encourage anyone who has the desire to fuse their photography with philanthropy to pursue it. The fruits of my labor, the 4 years I spent volunteering my time and energy on this personal project, has given me more spiritually and soulfully than any commercial job ever will. Just amazing. So look, I'm going to link to some of the things that she sent me so you can go and check them out, including the news articles, the documentary, some of the examples of her work. I'll put them all in the show notes for today's episode so you can see them, including the YouTube videos. Yeah, just amazing. And of course, please go back and check out the episode with Michelle Tricker as well. I think it will be inspiring and encouraging, particularly if you are all about creating some personal photography projects as well. Alrighty, that is going to wrap up this episode of the podcast. Big thanks again to Julia for coming on and sharing everything she did. Also to PhotoBizX premium members, Birgit, Ina, Laurie, Melissa, Veronica, and Victoria for passing on your raw files for Julia to experiment and play with for the show notes for today's episode. You guys are amazing. And to you, the listener, thank you for listening. Have a great week. Stay safe, healthy, and well wherever you are in the world. And I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.